You can have a BA, a master's, and a PhD and still get stumped trying to puzzle out medical bills, but that could soon change. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news today. The federal government wants medical bills redesigned so that mere mortals can tell what they need to pay and what for. From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has the story on the push for a redesign.
This morning, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services kicks off a competition to redesign medical bills and the billing process for consumers. In case you've missed the memo, federal health officials are overhauling healthcare to bring more value to the system. Medical bills, as simple as credit card statements, are part of the transformation, says Greg Myers.
The great mystery of healthcare has always been what the hospital charge, why do they charge it, what do I get for it?
Myers is an executive with the hospital system Integris Health in Oklahoma, one of the providers committed to testing the winning designs. A shift to value for consumers means we must make choices based on price and quality. That's pretty hard to do, though, especially when you don't know what the price is until after the service has been rendered.
Part of the billing challenge is trying to help patients understand what their financial responsibility is going to be as early on in the process as possible.
Simpler bills would certainly be welcome. Knowing how much care costs before it's delivered would be revolutionary. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Oil prices spiked for much of the morning but have settled back down to about $44 a barrel now. This after market players got over the appointment of the first new Saudi oil minister in two decades. That's part of a sweeping government overhaul announced by the Saudi king this weekend. As the markets open here, let's consult Karen Cavanaugh, market strategist at Voya Investment Management. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Well, you had a higher oil price story here for much of the morning. It's gone now. I guess there's still a lot of oil out there?
Absolutely. We did have a jump in oil prices, and that was based on uncertainty on what was going on in Saudi Arabia with a new oil minister and perhaps with the fires in Canada and some of the data out of China. But the bottom line is we are in a global oversupply situation. So the bias for oil is to the downside.
Indeed. And market participants will also be looking at company profits. So that season of reporting for the first quarter just about wrapped up, right?
Right. We're close to about 90% done. And the news is not that great. It's overall, we have a negative earnings growth for the fourth quarter in a row. And that's not good news. But the good news is that it's not as bad as we had thought it was going to be at the onset of earnings season. And also good news is that the next quarter is looking negative, but not as negative as this quarter. So the sense in the market is that we've kind of reached a trough in terms of earnings, negative earnings growth.
All right. The game of expectations, that is company profits and losses. Karen Cavanaugh at Voya Investment Management, thank you.
You're very welcome.
An Austrian billionaire family is buying Krispy Kreme donuts for about $1.33 billion. The Reimann family's investment firm already had grabbed Green Mountain Coffee that does those K-Cup coffee pods. They also own Pete's Coffee, Caribou Coffee, Einstein Bagels. They should just call the company Morning Oral Fixations R Us. Hi, I'm David Brancaccio. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. A lot happens while you sleep, so each morning we bring you the latest numbers on markets, money, jobs, and innovation, plus the context I think we all need to make the smartest decisions. We'd like you to help us keep our numbers strong by making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace. And this month, your gift in any amount will be automatically doubled thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate today at marketplace.org. Is the world becoming more urbane? Well, doubt it, but it is becoming more urban. From time to time, we bring in Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of The Globalist, to quiz us to help us better understand our globalized world. Hiya, Stefan.
Hi there, David. We know that more than half of the world's population now lives in urban areas. There are about 500 metro areas around the world that have a population of at least 1 million people each. How many of these cities are there in China alone? Is it 34, 58, 67, or 105?
I'll go with the low number. Was it 34 of them, something like that?
34, that applies only to miserly Europe.
Okay, I'm not going with the upper number of 105 of 500. I'll do the 68. Why not? In China, really?
Latin America. That's a big surprise, actually. Latin America is the most highly urbanized continent of all in the world. And it has 67 cities, led, of course, by Sao Paulo and Mexico City, Brazil having 21 cities with a million plus, and Mexico has 14 such cities as a country.
All right, so China has more than 100 urban areas that are of that scale, really?
China has a 20% share of the global population, and it also has just over one-fifth of million people cities in the world. You, of course, know Shanghai and Beijing, but it's high time to study up on names like Chongqing, 13 million people, Guangzhou, 12 million people, Tianjin, where the recent explosions were, 11 million people, and Shenzhen, where my son studied until recently, over 10 million people. So this is an eternal race, and the Chinese keep constructing, and there will be 148 million people cities in China by 2030. They'll have 50% more cities of a million people plus.
And the challenge for Chinese economic planners is trying to find jobs for all those people moving to the cities. Stefan Richter also tweets at The Globalist. Stefan, thank you.
From 1 million people city to another. Ciao.
Arrivederci. And as Republican presidential contenders fell out of the race, a lot of Wall Street campaign donations switched to Hillary Clinton. The Wall Street Journal crunched the numbers and finds that 53% of financial services donations went to Clinton in March. The percentage for Clinton had been running at about 31%. Republican Donald Trump has only just started to court Wall Street money. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.